is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great to have you. Wonderful radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com, also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here on a Friday. I'll give you some strings. Horns? Sorry, even though she's not here, it's Carrie Lockie. Carrie. You know it. What day is it anyway? Where's Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday.
Thank God it's...
Thank God it is Friday.
You know it is.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's...
Thank God it is Friday.
Hey, what the heck? Let's make it a free speech Friday. Let's go.
Free speech Friday.
Ah, freedom. Oh, wait a second. You're here?
Hello, yes. Why wouldn't I
really?
Be?
Really? Well, yeah. why didn't I know that?
I don't know why you didn't know that.
Wow. I should have been informed. You know, I've been traveling around the world. I have no idea what's up and what's down right now.
I guess so. Okay. I'm here.
Going on quite literally 1.5 hours sleep since yesterday morning at about 9.
I bet.
And, I mean, when I say literally, I don't mean literally like the kids say it today.
You mean literally.
I mean literally. Like really, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get your camera up and running and stuff. I didn't even know that you were here.
Okay.
1-800-383-9624, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more right there. Also, while you're there, you can click on the station list, find out what's going on, and much, much more. On a Friday, what we do is whatever's on your mind is fair game. So that means if you want to present it, normally during the week, I'll Rickroll them, Carrie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, you will.
I'll tell them, I'm not talking about that. Hang
you
up on them. Laugh at them.
Will. Yes.
Make fun
mock
of them.
Mock them, yeah.
Right. Oh, the mocking of them, that's constant.
That's what you do.
But on Friday, we actually do something nice.
Mm-hmm.
We offer the people the opportunity to decide what they want to talk about. Now, if I know something about it, we'll talk further. If I don't, we'll move on, and I'll thank them very much. You know what I'm saying?
I know. Every Friday. That's what happens.
And we've been doing that for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's been a very eventful few days for me, and we hinted about it, and then we started posting pictures about it yesterday, and we're certainly going to get to it. Bottom of this hour, it'll be the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And not like on the phone, we went to the White House.
You sure did.
Yeah,
I'll
this
have
little
to prove
dorky
it.
Little show ended up at the White. So I'm sitting in the apartment. I'm gonna turn your camera on. Hold on a second.
Okay.
So I'm sitting in Washington D.C. with Sam last night.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter Sam, Samantha. She's a great photographer, frame photography, and we're sitting around, just you know, chilling as we always do. And I just started laughing. I said, you know, a couple of idiots that have way too much gas and like to sit around, you know, eating Chinese food in their underwear. We were just at the White House interviewing the President of the United States. I just want to make sure that people understand what's going on here. And we just burst out in a very tired, fatigued laugh.
Yeah.
And the plane left at you know, 6 in the morning. So we had to be up at 2 and basically just didn't go to sleep.
My goodness.
Watched the Spurs lose the fourth game in a row.
Yeah.
And then editing video and looking at listening to audio and looking at the pictures. So it was really kind of cool. I'm gonna go ahead and tell people how this came to fruition. But Carrie, I didn't know that you were here, which is kind of silly. I should just look down
mm-hmm.
the hall.
Yeah.
If you can, I'm sure you already have. I do want to start, however, with Bo Bergdahl. Because I could not be more unhappy with this ridiculous sentence or lack of sentence that the judge gave. So again, bottom of this hour
will
be President Donald J. Trump from the White House. We went to the White House and did the interview, and it was great. It was the best. It was the greatest you're ever going to see. It was beautiful. For those watching on television, you'll see still pictures, a lot of them that Sam took of the interview. You're on television and radio, you're both going to hear the interview in its entirety. Because of some odd deal that I didn't know about going in, I will be able to show video, but only online. So I'll put it on my Facebook, and I'll put it on my Twitter, and I'll link to it all over the place after it airs. So again, on television, you'll see really great, high-quality, high-resolution pictures of the president and me talking. After we air it, we'll put it up online. You can go actually see the video. It's just a static shot. We had all sorts of other shots set up, and it just turned out there was some sort of miscommunication, and we're just not able to put it on television right now. We're going to go back at some point. We'll do a full-blown television interview. But again, stick around for the bottom of this hour. We've got the President of the United States. We'll also have Energy Secretary Rick Perry on the show today. And just great to see the former governor of the great state of Texas. Did you hear the controversy yesterday about Rick Perry?
Yeah, I did. Well, I saw it this morning, actually. They were talking about it online.
Incredibly, taken incredibly out of context. Mm-hmm. So we go right after that. The allegation was that Rick Perry said fossil fuels stop sexual assault.
Right. And that's how I read it today. They were still doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Those words in that form did not come out of his mouth. Yeah. So what we do is we actually clear that up. Plus, we talk about what it's like to be the energy secretary and so on. I've got Kellyanne Conway on the program. And again, it's kind of fluid how we're going to do today. So we may, in fact, you may see the pictures of and hear the audio from Kellyanne Conway on Newsmax. You're definitely going to hear Rick Perry and see the pictures of Rick Perry. Also, Special Assistant Cliff Sims to the president. We'll have him on the program today, too. So very, very, very busy and glad to be so. Out of an estimated 5,000 talk show hosts in the country, five people were asked to go to the White House this week.
Wow.
So I feel pretty good about it. I feel pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's going to be cool. Make sure you stick around for the bottom of the hour. If you don't mind, please give us the story of Bo Bergdahl that just sent me for a loop today. Go ahead.
Yeah, for a lot of people. From the Daily Caller, a military judge ruled Friday that Sergeant Bo Bergdahl would receive a dishonorable discharge, but no prison time for deserting his post in Afghanistan and endangering the lives of his comrades. Army Colonel Jeffrey R. Nance made the sentence after Bergdahl pleaded guilty to desertion and misbehavior before the enemy last month, charges that stem from the sergeant's abandonment of his post in Afghanistan in 2009 before he was held captive by a Taliban network for 5 years. And these charges carried the potential for life imprisonment as a punishment. And the sentence complied with requests from Bergdahl's defense team during closing arguments, but also demotes Bergdahl from sergeant to E1, focusing on the abuse he suffered at the hands of the Taliban, harsh criticism by President Trump, and diagnosed mental disorders. The defense argued these factors should mitigate the severity of Bergdahl's punishment. The judge ultimately agreed. Prosecutors had argued Bergdahl should receive a 14-year sentence.
Bergdahl, in my opinion, should be facing life in prison, if not worse. And we talked about why. It's because really great soldiers died trying to save him. And here's a guy that admitted he deserted. I don't know why there's even any question about it. Some hard times should have been in there. But to say he walks? Because that's what he's doing. Now, did the judge in his sentencing at all, Kerry, say, well, because of the time already served with the Taliban, that's why I'm doing this? That was the argument by his lawyer.
Right. I don't believe.
He's already served five years with the Taliban.
Yeah, I don't believe the judge said that, but I think everybody's assuming that went into his decision to not give him any jail time.
Stunning. So, of course, I immediately tweeted that, you know, it's ridiculous. This is sick. This makes my stomach hurt. This should never have happened this way. And people say, well, Trump is the reason because Trump called him a traitor and Trump said he should have had the death penalty, whatever. And my answer to that is no, he pleaded guilty. If he thought that the president's comments on the campaign trail, like he's been saying, I mean, this is just, you know, words. Unless you use it in court, it's not real. If he really thought that the president's words on the campaign trail, the then candidate Trump, somehow took away his ability to get a fair trial or somehow convicted him before he was convicted, he would never have pleaded guilty. He would have pleaded not guilty. He would have gone to trial and really tried to beat the charges. The fact is, when you plead guilty, you did it. That's the deal. And that's what I believe this judge should have used as his gauge. Not anything said on the campaign trail, not anything out there in the mainstream or in the vernacular, not anything out there in the atmosphere. He should have gone on the fact that six people died looking for this idiot, and this guy admitted that he's a deserter. And the reason that he gave for deserting, and correct me if I'm wrong, is he wanted to show how bad some things were in the Army or something.
Right.
He was going to show how bad the morale was or some crap. I mean, he's just stupid.
Yeah.
So I don't get it. Again, bottom of the hour will be President Donald Trump. We'll have former Governor Rick Perry, Energy Secretary now, Cliff Sims, Special Assistant, Kellyanne Conway, Counselor to the President. Got a lot going on this program today. Just back from Washington. Carrie, stories from my travails of my travel when we come back.
Can't wait.
They're going to be all right? We'll do that on the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
Great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pag Show. Great radio stations all over. So, yeah, just got back from Washington, D.C. By the way, that is Carrie Lockie, my news anchor, and general pain in my rear end, although not today. I mean, honestly, you came through for me. This is going to be so much better that you're here because I'm half asleep. There's a chance that during the program, I will fall asleep. And if so, just pick it up and run with it, if you don't mind.
No, I don't think I can do that. I'm not
going to
run with it.
See, so you won't fall asleep. I want to do some.
Sure.
There's a chance, although I'm pretty amped up right now on the DDP. You know, the people who make that soft drink really need to step up and sponsor the show now because honestly,
hello?
I don't know if there is a better advocate for their little drink.
It has to be you.
Anyway, went to Washington. I'll have some story time in a second. I'm going to take two phone calls on Bergdahl because I've got some story time before we get into the president. And then we'll do some more Bergdahl after that, and that's fine. A lot of people want to be heard. It's a free speech Friday. Carrie, were you surprised? And again, I'm not asking you if you think it's right or wrong. Just were you surprised?
Yes, I was.
When you heard that he wasn't getting any jail time at all.
I was expecting maybe 3 to 5 years at the minimum.
I flew in today, and man, are my arms tired. So I am not really aware of how San Antonio, Military City USA, reacted to this. Are we hearing anything on the local front? There are so many bases here, so many training facilities here, so many great men and women in the armed forces here. Are we hearing anything, or is it slowly coming in?
Well, it's slowly coming in. We did talk, and you talked to Jeffrey Atticott before,
right.
Who's now a law professor at St. Mary's, and he expressed what I think a lot of people are experiencing is the anger and the disappointment of this, that there was absolutely no prison time.
Well, what I find amazing is that idiots on social media immediately are blaming Trump. I mean, they'll blame Trump for anything.
Yeah.
And I've been posting for the past, you know, several hours, starting last night. I wasn't allowed to say that I was getting President Trump until I got President Trump. You knew that.
Yeah.
But we couldn't announce it to the people. As soon as I announced it on social media, like today, some idiot that works in our very same company, just in a different city, oh, let the softballs begin. Or something like that. And my response to him on Twitter was, you know, I've never thought to myself that I should criticize somebody I work with on social media. That just doesn't seem to sit well with me.
Harsh.
But I think this is what people are. They are political beings, creatures, and the knee-jerk reaction is always going to be, what would my party say? What would my alignment ideology say that I should say or how I should react? The fact is, somebody from your company was invited to the White House to interview the leader of the free world. And unless you're suggesting
deal.
I should have said no, shut your face. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So yeah. I'm going to grab a couple of quick calls. Exactly. A couple of quick calls on which haters going hate.
Haters going
you can't
hate.
Say gonna. You just hate. Haters going hate.
Haters going
All
hate.
Right. It's going to be Donna in California. Donna, what's happening?
Not much. I'm just angry today from all of this Bergdahl crap. You know, he doesn't deserve to be on American soil today. What they need to do is dress him up, take him over there, and dump him in Taliban territory. Let them deal with him.
Well, I think that whatever he gets, that would be different than what he got, would be better than what he ended up getting. I mean, the fact that he's walking, Donna, makes me nuts because he admitted it. And we know that people died and were horribly wounded. And I guess, Carrie, he did some sort of, I'm really sorry that people got hurt.
Yeah, I know. He got very emotional, I think, at some of the testimony.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me go back at it and say hi to, it's going to be Ian, Oceanside, New York. Ian, what's going on?
Hi, Joe. This hits home. home because I'm a United States Coast Guard captain. I'm a merchant marine officer for 16 years. And
Thank
this
you.
Guy gets no jail time when a guy takes a selfie of himself on a submarine and he's in jail and he says, I'm where I should be because I broke the law. And he had no nefarious reasons. They found his pictures in the dump. But this Bergdahl gets people killed and injured because of him. And now some judge lets him walk with not one day. Something's so rotten here. It stinks. It stinks like you couldn't believe
it. Well, Ian, it does. And I want people listening to understand the person you're talking about, his name is, I believe, Chris Saucier. I think that's his name. And he ended up, when he realized he was leaving the ship and he was going to be discharged or reassigned, he said, let me grab a few pictures. He took six pictures, and he ended up going to prison for a year. This guy, there are six dead American soldiers because of him. Five bad guys, killers who were in the Taliban, were released because of him. He gets nothing. It's stunning.
Yeah, something's rotten in Denmark, and it's really bad because it sets a precedent. So the next yellow backsliding traitor that wants to desert his post is going to get nothing done. Matter of fact, they'll even come back here and have people like Rice say, what a hero. He should write a book, maybe. And now the kid will make millions without a day. And somebody's going to offer this guy a book deal. And this is the sixth.
Ian, I thought he stopped there. We always appreciate you. He gets wound up. I don't want him to have an aneurysm. But he's absolutely right. So, Kerry, if I'm going to be just a political being and not somebody who actually uses his brain, which is what I do for a living, I'll just be a political being. Oh, yeah? Well, if Trump is the reason you say he got off easily, I say Obama's the reason why he got off easily. Obama said we don't leave any man behind. Susan Rice said he's a hero, coming home a hero. His father was invited and mother were invited to the Rose Garden to speak the praises and sing the praises of their son, the war hero. So, I mean, maybe this judge said, well, former president said that he wouldn't leave him behind, and his administration said that he was a war hero. I guess I have to go in alignment with that. I mean, I could be that guy too, couldn't I?
Yeah, why not? You could.
Or maybe, you know, there should be some truth in sentencing. That's pretty disgusting what this guy got away with. All right, I'm not going to have time for story time now. So what I'll do is... we'll grab another Bergdahl in a second. We'll have story time after the interview with President Trump, which is coming up at the bottom of the hour. And again, the audio is going to sound different and better than it normally does on radio, and it'll sound much better even on television. On TV, you'll see some great still photos of me interviewing the President of the United States. On radio, you'll hear the entire thing as you will on television. After it airs and later on tonight, I'll be able to post it on social media. You'll see the video of the actual interview. It's really something. Have you been to the White House, Kerry?
I have not. I've been to Washington, D.C.
The East Room is where this happened. The East Room.
Okay.
And I'll give you my reflections on the White House itself, walking in that historic building.
Had you ever been before?
I had not.
Okay.
No, I had seen the Capitol from I-95. I never even went to Washington, D.C.
Got it.
So going there, doing business there, and not having any clue what it was going to be like, it was pretty interesting. And I'll set the entire stage. But we had a good. I was given 8 minutes. What do you think I took?
12.
10.
Oh, okay.
I wanted 12, but I definitely was going to stop at 8.
Of course.
And they were very, very nice. There were the other four hosts there, and actually I saw them like interrupt. That's it. Stop. You know. So I didn't want that to happen. But I wasn't stopping at 8. You know, and he and I were getting along great. And I tell you this, no matter what you think of his politics, and I'm completely for you disagreeing with him politically. I always have been. Political, you know, discourse is fun if you do it right. I happen to agree with what his agenda is, mostly. But he's a nice guy. And you might be saying, well, come on, he was kissing up because he knew it was going to be. No, he's just a nice dude. Every time we've spoken with President Trump, even when he was candidate Trump, he's always just been a nice guy. I've always been a little bit, because the first interview you go in and you're thinking he's going to be gruff, he's going to be that businessman, he's going to go at you.
Right.
And he's not. He's actually disarming. And in this interview, you saw the pictures, right?
We're
sitting, I mean, eye to eye right across from each other.
Yeah,
and he's just a good dude. And again, I can disagree with him. But he's a good guy. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. My interview with President Donald J. Trump when we come back on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Do me a favor. Stop by Facebook.com/JoeTalkShow and like the page. That'll make Zuck mad. Do that. And also go to Twitter, Twitter.com/JoeTalkShow or at Joe Talk Show, and follow me on Twitter. That makes Jack and those other people on Twitter. Did you see that President Trump's Twitter was taken down yesterday for 11 minutes?
I did hear about that. Yeah.
You hear who did it?
Yeah.
I mean, some Twitter employee on his or her
last day. Yeah, that's what they did.
I mean, it just crazy. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to do the interview with the president now. Kerry, when he walks up, he's sort of snapping his finger. Not really snapping his finger, but he's got a lot of energy. He's got a lot of people around him. But he sees my name placard, and I'll show this on television. It's from the White House, the Joe Pags Show. Had that right there on the table. There's the White House seal. Awesome. Like that, okay, like that. Walks up, he goes, oh, Joe. And then, you know, we shake hands, we say hello. He said, this was, and again, I don't care what people think of the politics, but this is the guy he is. He sits down. And I said, oh, and that's my daughter, Sam. Stands right back up, shakes her hand. Great to see you, Sam. Your dad's been to this and that.
Wow.
I wish other people had a chance to interact non-politically with the guy or not on The Apprentice with the guy, because he's not the guy, personality-wise, that I think a lot of people think he is. Here's a disclaimer. What do I always want to be? I always want to be right, right?
Yes.
I'm interviewing the president, and in the interview, you're going to hear me talk to him about how he won Michigan. And I talk about how he's the first Republican to win Michigan since Reagan. That's wrong. George Herbert Walker Bush won Michigan in 1988. That was the last Republican to win. Wanted to make sure people knew going in. After the interview, I thought to myself, you know what? I don't know that that was right. So, and I interviewed Kellyanne Conway before him, and I think I said the same thing to her. Want to make sure people understand, I know that George Herbert Walker Bush won in 1988. So when I say to the president, realize that I want to make sure that I correct it for you. Here we go. Now my interview with President Donald J. Trump, right here on the Joe Pags Show. Mr. President, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's an absolute honor. I've been in this business a long time. This is the biggest interview I've gotten, and I thank you so much for making it you.
Well, you're good friends with Eric, my boy, and Don also, and I really appreciate it.
The first question I've got to ask is the question my listeners all want to know. Do you really do all those tweets?
I do most of them. The good ones I do.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's interesting. I call it social media. I don't even call it tweet too much, but it's a great form of communication. The press is so dishonest and so fake, and it's the only way I really can get the communication out there. Local is great. You're great. I mean, I have so many wonderful people, but if you look at CNN, which is absolutely fake, if you look at, I mean, they make up stories. If you look at ABC and CBS and NBC is terrible. You know, with all the money I made NBC with The Apprentice, they are absolutely terrible. Yeah. And so it's a great form of communicating. I get the word out. If they do a false story, I can at least write about it. And people can see the other side.
As you know, my mother's from Jamaica, Queens. So
good.
Are you.
Good.
You're
That's
a fighter.
True.
She's a fighter. I'm a fighter.
Right.
Is that really what it's about? When you give it back, when somebody hits you, when you hit back, is that really what it's about? I'm not going to let you get the better of me and lie about me?
Well, a little bit. It's also this. When I won, I really thought that one of the good things that would come out of it would be the media would be fair.
Right.
And it turned out that they got worse. They're actually worse. And so it's just one of those things, Joe. But look, as far as I'm concerned, there's tremendous people in your industry, including you.
Yeah, thanks.
But there are a lot of really... I find the smaller markets and the mid-markets, I get really properly treated.
Right.
But from the networks and CNN, and I find Fox is very, very fair.
Yeah.
They're very professional and they're very fair. But I don't find that with the other networks.
We're always going to be fair. We're up to just about 100 stations now, 15 of which are in Michigan.
Right.
At last we spoke, you were flying back and forth to Michigan constantly because it was close.
Right.
You pulled Michigan off. First guy since Reagan. You almost got Minnesota. Reagan couldn't even get Minnesota.
I was so
close.
Those
people are all listening right now. And
I love
and they
Minnesota.
Wonder, in the year that you've been in, nine, 10 months you've been in, how much do you keep middle America that really won this for you in mind when things like the tax cuts happen?
Yeah, totally. That's what we're doing right now with the tax cuts. And when you mentioned Minnesota, you're right. It was so close.
So close.
And they have been treated horribly with immigration. Somalia, of the things that have happened in Minnesota. The people of Minnesota can't even believe it's happening to them. And they have been treated terribly. And I almost won Minnesota, and I'll win it the next time.
Yeah.
Michigan has been fantastic. You know, we have plants opening.
That was a surprise. So was Wisconsin.
Well,
but
not so much to us. We went there. I went there the last night, and I got there at 1 in the morning, and we had 32,000 people. And I looked at my people, and I said to Ronna, you know, Ronna McDaniel, who is fantastic, now the head of the RNC.
Right.
I said, so why are we going to lose Michigan with all these people? And Hillary was there just a little bit before us in a much better time because I was there literally. I started speaking at about 1 o'clock in the morning, which is now election day.
Right.
And she was there. She had a very, very small crowd. So I said, why are we going to lose Michigan? Now, since this happened, you know, we're expanding plants in Michigan. Yeah. Car companies are moving back into Michigan and Ohio and other places. You look at what's going on in Minnesota, it's so sad. And I think we're going to win it the next time. I think we're going to do even better in Michigan. But we have a lot of industry coming back into our country.
Is it because of the tax of the corporate rate from 35 down to 20? Will that immediately, in your opinion, make these companies close up shop there and bring them right back to Detroit?
Well, it's one of the
parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Yeah, you probably saw. I had a news conference today. One of the Fortune 100 companies, think of that, one of the biggest companies, Fortune 100 in the world, as you know, is coming, Broadcom, is coming back into the United States. They're going to locate in the United States. That's a big announcement, psychologically especially, but that's a big announcement. So we have a Fortune 100 company coming back in, which is very exciting. But we have a lot of plants going up now. We have automobile plants. We have companies moving back in, and which are the biggest in the history of our country, will have a huge impact on that, too. And a huge impact on employment, jobs, and wages.
Those on the left, and even some of the right, who are from California, from New York, the higher tax states, will say, yeah, but this is double taxing our people. I mean, my response is, not important, we'll get yours, but my response is, don't tax them so much to begin with. Is that sort of what the hit back has to be when they say that you're doubling taxes on people with big mortgages?
Yeah, but what I'm really doing is cutting taxes for the middle class. We're cutting them way down, Joe, in the middle class, and we're also cutting them for business. Business is 35 down to 20. And the problem was businesses were leaving our country. When you look at all the business, look at all the car companies that left and they went to Mexico.
Right. Yeah.
Businesses were leaving our country. Now they're staying, and now they're actually starting to come back. So this tax cut, which has become very popular, and it's going to be very hard to fight. You know, one of my least favorite newspapers today came out with Pinocchio's on Schumer, because Schumer said, oh, it's for the rich, it's for the rich, which is a standard chant.
I know which paper it is. I won't give him any credit either.
But they gave him four Pinocchios because he said it's for the rich, and they said it's really not. It's for jobs, and it's for the middle class, and it's really doing well.
All right. I've got to talk a little bit about terrorism. You were way ahead of this diversity visa lottery.
It's true.
I guess we didn't have enough people, Mr. President, from Uzbekistan in the country. Who comes up with a plan like that? Why is it in place? And I know that you wanted it gone before this attack happened. It happened a couple of blocks away from the ground zero. Can you get rid of it through executive order? Does it have to be through the Senate, through the House? Does it have to be a legislative move? What has to happen?
We're going to get rid of it very quickly. It's going to go through, has to go through Congress. I must tell you, this was a Schumer concept and idea. He was in when he was a congressman, and Chuck Schumer was promoting it. And it was no good then. Common sense.
Right.
Number one, they probably don't even do a lottery. They probably just give you their worst.
Right.
Okay. They probably do it. You know, who says it's a lottery? Who's out there checking to see it's a lottery? So they probably take their worst and they give you their worst.
Yeah.
Because that's the way, unfortunately, a lot of the system works. But who would think that that was good to start off with? Anyway, the animal that did the recent West Side killings, eight people, and people don't even say, but the people that were so badly hurt. I mean, these people were horribly injured and hurt. But all of these people, they suffered because of this animal that we allowed to come in on a draw based on a lottery.
Like you go buy a lottery ticket. It doesn't make sense to anybody.
It's horrible. And we're going to be ending it very quickly.
Can you make it go away through executive action?
Well, we're looking at that. Actually, we looked at it today. I'm having an answer tomorrow. If I can sign it away and then still go through Congress because we want to make it permanent, we will be doing that, Joe.
Quickly on Obamacare. You took executive action. I interviewed Rand Paul. He I know was conferring with you about this.
That's true.
Really great move to make that cross-state bargaining. Plus, there are other things that can be done, too. Are you still looking at what power you have in the executive, or do you still have to go through the legislative? Because now that we passed September 30th, as you know, it's got to be a brand new bill with 60 votes.
Well, we're focused absolutely on tax cuts, and as soon as the tax cuts, we will get the health care done, and we'll get it done properly. Well, we want to get rid of the individual mandate, which is a disaster, right, in Obama. These are people that have to pay not to take this horrible insurance. I mean, these are people that are paying money to do something they don't want to do. It's probably unheard of. I assume it's been tested legally, but it's unheard of. So we're going to be getting rid of the individual mandate, but we're going to be repealing Obamacare. We will be replacing Obama. You know, we had the votes until we were surprised late in the morning. We were very sadly surprised by one person, and that's okay, because we're going to have a very, very good health care situation. We will be repealing and replacing. I think, you know, there's a lot of people that want to put the individual mandate repeal. They want to do that, and they want to put it right into the tax package, and that could happen, and it probably will happen.
When I got here yesterday, Senator Ted Cruz said, "Welcome to the swamp." When you were running for president, that drain the swamp came up. You didn't even love the phrase, really, but now that you've been here a year, is it a swamp? And were you surprised to find that a lot of the swamp monsters were on the right?
Yeah, it's a swamp.
In your own party.
You got a lot of people. It's a tricky place. Yeah. It's a tricky place. You know that from doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
But we're getting it through. We've had tremendous success in 10 months, what we've done with cutting regulations, with getting legislation passed. I'm talking about approved by the Senate and the House. A lot of people don't know. We're up to 70 bills. That's
a
lot.
It's rarely reported, by the way.
It's never reported. Yeah. I watch these dishonest people on CNN and these others, and they talk about, like, we haven't passed anything. And we've passed, I think it's a record number or close to a record for the amount of time I've been in. And Harry Truman maybe had it, but I hear we overtook him. I mean, think of that. And yet they report like we haven't done anything, and it's really disgraceful. It really is very sad. But I will say this, whether it's that or all of the executive orders to get rid of all of this regulation, and that's what's having a big impact on the market. So the market's been up. I think we've hit about 60 times now where we've created records in the history of the stock. This is in the history of the stock market. Approved the pipelines, you know, the Keystone Pipeline, Dakota Access Pipeline. That was 42,000 jobs. I mean, we've done a lot. And, of course, we've gotten a great Supreme Court judge, not just nominated, but in.
I'm so proud of the guy that I wanted one last thing. Houston Astros won last night.
Congratulations.
For that city that got demolished by Harvey.
Great
what
city.
What message do you have for them?
Well, they're great people. I got to know them very well during the hurricane horror show that we went through. It just kept going out into the Gulf, reloading and coming back three times. These are great people, tremendous stamina, tremendous will. And they probably deserved it just about more than anybody.
It
when
almost
you
felt
look.
Like fate, didn't it?
It was beautiful. Yeah. It was a beautiful thing to see.
Mr. President, I can't thank you enough for your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
All right.
I appreciate your support. You have been fantastic. Thank you, Joe.
There you go, President Donald J. Trump. Really a pleasure to sit down in the East Room with him and have that time with him. It was a rare occasion for somebody like me, a radio talk show host, also the show now on television. Hopefully the pictures look great on television. I'm told they did. I'll be able to post the actual video of the interview later after the program. But your thoughts on what you just heard, plus a lot of people still want to be heard on Bergdahl. Carrie, pretty cool, no?
It was very cool. What an experience. Man, that's once
in a
lifetime.
Did it. Now, we don't have this, but... Right, well, we don't have this, but he actually says, who's the girl?
No, he did not. No.
I'll tell you this, and I know this to be a fact because I talked to somebody who works very, very closely with him every day. They are aware of the show, and they do. They passed through the channels the other day. They were watching it on Newsmax.
Really?
So that's kind of cool. So maybe we get invited back. We could do the whole elaborate setup and do, you know, the video interview that way.
Yeah, that would be good.
And you should probably come. You should go.
I would love to if I had been invited.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. It turns out, well, the president said you can't take too many days off every week.
Oh,
and
that was
something
it.
About Carrie don't care.
About that. Yeah. 1-800-383-9624
JoePags.com. Coming right back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all that and more. Glad to have brought you my interview with Donald Trump, the president of the United States. It's funny, Carrie, when you watch Trump on The Apprentice for so many years, and you watch him in business for so many years, what does everybody call him?
What does everybody call him? I don't know, just Trump? The Donald?
No, Mr. Trump, when they're talking to him.
Oh, okay, yeah, Mr. Trump.
Everybody says Mr. Trump. You can watch The Celebrity Apprentice, and celebrities worth $200 million are calling him Mr. Trump. Mm-hmm. Well, now he's the president. You have to call him Mr. President.
Yeah.
So it's funny. Sam and I actually had a conversation. I'm like, now, Sam, make sure that you call him the right name. She said, I'm going to call him Mr. Trump. I said, no, you got to call him Mr. President. And what's funny is I called him Mr. President several times yesterday. And the last time when I shook his hand, we said goodbye. And there are pictures on my Facebook, on my Twitter, on my Instagram. Instagram is also Joe Talk Show. And you'll see us shaking hands, taking pictures. Next. Did you see the picture with Sam in it?
Yes, that was a great picture. They both giving the thumbs up.
Cracked,
how come you weren't doing it?
Cracked me up. I didn't know she was doing it.
The thumbs
so
up too.
We take a picture at the end with my daughter Sam as well, and she's editing the pictures last night. She's the professional photographer, and she zooms in on it. She's showing me and Trump, and me and the president, or the president and me. And he's got his thumb up, and I'm just standing there, you know, smiling and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then she zooms out, and there she is doing that, too. I'm like, come on, dude.
That was awesome.
It was
that.
So funny. It was a great picture.
It.
So go and check those out online. I'm going to post the audio of the interview online. We'll post the video of the interview online. And we'll certainly take your comments on it as well. And we'll do some story time off the next hour at some point, probably after the first break. Off the top, I want to bring you the special assistant to the president, Cliff Sims. We've had Cliff Sims on the program before. I did not realize how closely he works with the president. When the president was walking around, he was following him around. And he was actually the guy giving you the time cue to wrap it up. So, in other words, he was the guy that I ignored. Good interview. Really good insight. And we do talk more about tax reform. Now, the Radio Row is what they call it, but it was only five of us called. The Radio Row is, they usually have sort of a topic. We'd like to have you come in and talk about tax reform. But you knew I had to talk about the terrorism in New York. You knew I had to go there.
Yes, absolutely.
You knew I had to go to just ask about Obamacare. You knew I had to, come on, the Astros? Mm-hmm. I had to ask about the Astros winning the World Series.
Absolutely.
So you had to go there, and boy, he just... How much does he dislike CNN?
I'm thinking a lot.
I mean, honestly.
A lot.
I mean, without even me asking, he's just smacking CNN upside the head.
Yeah.
And what was funny is the Washington Post is the newspaper that gave Chuck Schumer four Pinocchios for what he was saying about the tax reform plan. And even though they did something that was complimentary to him and his tax plan, he still didn't want to name them. Mm-hmm. So he's got this real battle going on right now with the fake news media, as he calls them. Roger, I've got about a minute. Make it happen. Hello, Roger.
Hey, I'm happy to talk to you. I just wanted to say thank you very much for your interview. You know, I am a member of the military, and I appreciate our commander-in-chief and just having those few quick moments you had with him. I've never thought he was a supremely articulate man, but that close, perhaps it was the intimacy with that interview. He came off very articulate, and I very much appreciated your questions and the way he answered them straight in a straightforward manner. So the whole thing was great. Thanks for your time and your
Roger, I appreciate your service. And do me a favor, try to find the pictures online or go look at the pictures, because it was just him and me. There were people in the background, but I think you're right. When it's an intimate setting like that where he's just having a one-on-one conversation, I think he can be himself more, and it's not that persona that's even amplified by the media. I appreciate you, my friend. Carrie, did you see the pictures?
I did,
because that's
kind
of what it is. I mean, it's just him, and the man wants to engage with you. And it doesn't matter. He went around and shook everybody's hand, everybody and everybody's crew, everybody's family members that were there, took pictures with everybody. And that's a different side that you don't see. Quick break here. We're back after this on the Joe Pag Show.
This is the Joe Pag Show. Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that is there. And we really appreciate you stopping by. It is a big day. You probably already heard the interview, but if you waited and you didn't hear the interview, Carrie, did they miss out? I think they missed out,
They certainly did miss out, yes.
I think they did. So maybe we'll run it again later. Maybe we won't. I don't know. It really depends.
I think you should.
You know, I go and do the work for the people. Why should I run it again? We told them what time it was going to be on.
I know, but you know, maybe some people are working. They're just getting off of work. They missed it.
And of course, what day of the week is it?
Friday.
I mean, that could mean that you give them a bit of a break, right? It's been a long week.
I think so, yeah.
Come on, horns. Sorry, that was me. Cheese and tomatoes. Carrie.
No.
What day is it anyway? Where's Bob Guthrie? Come on.
Friday.
My man. Thank God it's.
Thank God it is Friday.
Yes, it is.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's.
Thank God it is Friday.
Yeah, I'm in a pretty good mood. Half asleep, but pretty good mood. Let's make it a Free Speech Friday. Come on.
Free Friday.
Freedom. Uh-huh. Say what? Bring it down. Anything on your mind is going to be fair game. Whatever you want to talk about, we can make that happen. If I know something about it, we'll talk about it. If not, we will move on, and thank you for your time. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com, all the social media. Go check out the pictures from the East Room in the White House with President Donald Trump. Now, yesterday, the way it was, I had a list. Carrie, I was given a list. By the way, that's my news anchor and good friend, Carrie Lockie. See what I did there?
What is that, the sleep deprivation talking or what?
Well, I got to tell you, I don't mind telling people. I really don't mind because, you know what, I'm in a fog today because of the traveling and 1.5 hours sleep that I got this afternoon. It wasn't even like overnight. I have no problem telling people I'm so happy you're here today. I just am.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But don't push it.
Okay.
Don't push your luck.
I'll take it.
Okay.
Okay. Hope we got that in
fact,
somewhere.
Okay. Just want to make sure that I.
Okay.
That
I'll be nice.
Makes me happy to hear you say. Today. All right. Went to Washington, D.C. Here's how it went down. I got an email during a show last week. Remember, I told you it was like Tuesday or something. I got an email, and it was, hey, it was the White House. Oof. And you get an email from the White House, you want to pay attention.
Yeah.
Hey, can you give us a call after the show? Absolutely.
Called
after the show. We did a radio row a couple of weeks ago or whatever last week, and the president loved it, and he wanted to do one on tax reform, and only a select few people are being asked to come, and you're going to get the president. So I've known for a week and a half that I was going to get the president yesterday. But the stipulation was I really couldn't say anything. And the reason that I couldn't say anything actually makes sense to me. As I said, there are 5,000 talk show hosts in America. And every one would have said, I should go too. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, of course. They all think they should go.
So they made the decision. I don't know how the selection process went. They got my station list from the website, and they said, yeah, we'd like for you to come. And plus, we had a really good rapport with the president on the campaign trail. Mm-hmm. We had him on 6 different times. And we have Eric on all the time, who I think the world of.
Yeah.
So just was really, really a great honor. And as much as I hinted a lot, I mean, come on, there was a lot of hinting going on.
Yeah, there was.
I'm going to be in the White House.
Yeah.
I don't know. People live there. I'm going to get a big interview. So, you know, we made sure that people understood that we were going to do our best to get him. But when you get there, and I'll talk about the annoying people. Have you traveled on a plane recently?
Not recently.
Mm-mm. The hell is wrong with these people? It's like they have
no
manners anymore.
I know.
And I don't mean the people in the airlines. I mean the people that you're traveling with.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
I'm sure.
But you get there to the White House, and you're escorted to the place, and I was there 3 hours early. And Gary was 85 degrees and had this new purple shirt on, and it was dark purple with my sweat after about a second. But they finally cooled it down, and we were able to dry it off. Yeah, I walked around shirtless in the White House for a while just to dry the shirt off.
So. Yeah.
Probably not. Yeah. But you get a list of people that are available to be interviewed or who want me to interview them. Like they see, okay, who are the hosts that are going to be here? Yeah, I should go with that one. And I knew I was going to get the president. So I interviewed a bunch of people. I'm only going to bring a few of them today, And we'll bring some more possibly on Monday. But one of them is Cliff Sims, who is a special assistant to the President of the United States. We've had him on the program before. And for me, I found his information to be very, very good when we had him on before. I also wanted to get into the nuts and bolts of the tax reform plan, more so than I did with the president. I was very general with it, more in-depth here. And also wanted to talk about terrorism and what happens in the White House when you hear there's a terrorist strike. So I want to give you Cliff Sims right now, special assistant to the President of the United States here on the Joe Pag Show. Really glad to have special assistant to the President of the United States. It's Cliff Sims. Cliff, how are you?
Glad to be here.
Good to see you face to face. This is kind of crazy. You guys invited a bunch of loudmouth people into the East Room. Well, what are you thinking?
I will say, radio people care about their voices, right?
Right.
You got the best voice of the crew, I will say, even in this room.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Well, see, the interview's over. That's all we have to do. Listen, big news today. Jerome Powell, he's the guy.
Yep.
The president makes the nomination for Fed chair. Why was he the right guy? Why is right now the right time?
Well, I think the reason he's the right guy is we're getting ready to go into an era of unprecedented economic growth.
Right.
And in preparation for that, the president's wanting to put somebody in that role, which is a very important role in our economy, who is prepared to manage that.
Yeah.
And the Fed's got a big portfolio. And a lot of the things that Mr. Powell has talked about, kind of ideologically where he's at there, I think really fit in with what the president was looking for, someone who can really manage the kind of growth that we're about to have here.
Yeah.
So I think that's why he was the right guy at the right time.
It sounds like a dumb question. Hopefully it's not. Why does my audience care who the Fed chairman is?
Well, I mean, the Fed, for better or worse, and depending on who you ask, for better or for worse, does play a significant role in our economy because they set interest rates and different things like that. So when we talk about access to capital for companies that are trying to grow, different things like that, there are aspects of what the Fed does that impact job creation in this country. That's just the bottom line. And so if you care about job creation, care about wage growth, care about what the president is trying to do to grow the economy, then you do care about who the Fed chair is going to be. And so I think it's a good day. The president got the right guy.
Yeah.
We're excited about it.
Special assistant to the President of the United States is Cliff Sims. Cliff, the tax plan was going to be dropped yesterday. They held off a day. They got it done today. And there are things in there that both sides are sort of starting to dig in on.
Sure.
Interestingly, there are some things in there that some Republicans in high tax states are digging in on against, which is weird. But as an overview, it's basically, if I'm hearing the numbers right, anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000 of a pay increase for the average American. Explain that to me.
So the way you look at it is you got kind of two sides here. You got the personal individual side, and then you got the corporate side. These impact every American on both sides, and here's how. One, with the numbers that came out today showed that the kind of regular middle class household around the country on the individual side will get $1,182 tax cut.
Nice.
Boom, right off the top.
Right.
Now on the business side, if you project this out, the Council of Economic Advisors say that this is going to spur such massive economic growth in this country that you're going to actually get a $4,000 or more pay raise because your employer is going to, the economy is going to be growing. They're going to be able to hire more people, raise your wages. So you combine that on the corporate side with the individual side, we're talking $5,500 plus that the average American per year is going to be able to put in their pocket. And so for the president, when he said today, we're trying to get you tax cuts for Christmas, imagine approaching a time like Christmas when a lot of us are thinking about what are we going to get for our loved ones and that kind of thing. Imagine if you had an extra $5,500 in your pocket right now than you currently do. Imagine
like
what you could do with that money. No question.
Without a doubt, it makes perfect sense. The corporate tax rate is so confusing because I don't think there should be one. But I'll play devil's advocate. People are going to say you're going to cut corporate tax rates. They're going to start stuffing that money in the bank. They're going to put it underneath their mattresses. They're not going to spread that wealth around. I think that's stupid, but give a better answer than that stupid as to why corporations now will be incentivized to grow their research and development, their widgets, and hire more people.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a perfect real-world example from today. So the president announced this morning that Broadcom, a company that is a Fortune 100 company, giant corporation that was founded in a garage in California, just like so many success stories, they grew and got acquired and acquired other companies, and next thing you know, they're so big, it starts making sense to move overseas because our tax code is so screwed up. So they actually moved to Singapore. Well, today they announced that they're moving back to the United States, which has been unheard of in recent decades because of what the president's done on the job side with the regulations and the different things like that, but also because in anticipation of this tax reform plan that's going to suddenly make it the smart thing for companies to invest and grow in the United States. The president's going to Asia this coming week.
Yeah.
The five countries that he is visiting, every one of them has cut drastically their corporate tax rate in the last 10 or 15 years. years, to the point that now we have the highest corporate tax rate of any of the countries that he's visiting. What we're doing would actually make us have the lowest tax rate. And what's going to happen? That incentivizes these companies to come back from those countries that have been overseas. We saw it today. We're going to see that more and more.
Would
and
that take effect immediately from 35 down to 20?
Just like that.
Done.
Yep, done deal.
So you've got 15% more. I mean, because Burger King, I think, last year or 2 years ago, they made a big deal on my radio show about this, went to Canada, for goodness sakes, simply because Canada was so much more competitive and they got to keep more of their money.
That's right.
You sell
a
burger and you get to keep much more of that burger. So it seems to make sense. Does the president speak with big corporation leaders? Does he say, I'm going to do this? Will you, in fact, give us some sort of a guarantee, or we're incentivizing you to do it, to hire more people, to expand more, to offer more services or products?
Yeah, so he's talking to a lot of people about this, but on the corporate side, we have had a lot of conversation with CEOs that are saying exactly what you are.
Yeah.
Look, we want to be an American company. We're Americans. We want it to be the smart play, but we also have to do what's right for our shareholders. And so if you make it the smart play for us and our shareholders to be in the United States, we'll be back here in a hurry.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more talent here. There's so much more resources. You have access to a great justice system, which a lot of countries don't have around the world. There's a lot of things that are positive about doing business in America. We're trying to make across the board everything positive about doing business here. So yeah, but he's also talking to these small business owners out there. I was a small business owner before I came here.
Yeah.
And a lot of us who started small businesses, you look at all the mountain of regulations and the taxes, more and more it's like, I don't know if I could have started my small business under the current scenario. We got to change that. So we're talking to small business owners, Main Street to Wall Street, across the board. This is going to be a massive tax cut for everybody.
I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up before I let you go. Of course, the tax plan has been, well, been talking about launching it yesterday, today.
Mm-hmm.
We set up this radio row so that we can sit down and have a conversation with you and others today about it. But then you had terrorism happen in New York.
Sure. Yeah.
Lower Manhattan, just a couple of blocks away from the Ground Zero memorial. You got a guy who thought running people over who were riding their bikes in the park made sense, and he thinks that his religion told him to do it. He wanted to hang an ISIS flag in his hospital room.
Yeah.
When the president hears that, he's got so much other stuff going on. How does the conversation change in wherever it is that you are in the White House talking to him?
Well,
what immediately happens?
Obviously, the weight of something like that always is, you know, you feel it. You do feel that. But it's also a reminder that as we've made unprecedented kind of advances and made wiping ISIS out of big swaths of the Middle East, that they have controlled all this territory, it's a reminder that because it's sometimes an ideological battle that we have here on the home front, we have to be just as vigilant. And so what does that mean? That means that we've got to be very cautious, very careful about who we're allowing into our country. It's a big part of it. But we also have to start calling this ideology what it is. It's evil ideology. And the president has been very willing in a way that no president maybe ever has been before about calling it out for what it is. And it's evil. It's pure evil.
Have you
evil.
Ever heard of this diversity lottery thing before, this diversity visa lottery?
I had. And the
and
president
had gone already before this even happened.
Long before. Because really what he wants on immigration side is, let's get an immigration system that people come to this country, which, by the way, coming to this country is one of the greatest honors and privileges that anybody on this planet could have.
Yep.
So let's do it based on merit, not based on chain migration or just whatever kind of loophole they can try to get into the country. Let's do it based on merit. I think that's something that everybody should be able to get behind. And this has obviously brought it to the forefront in a way that we haven't seen in a while. In our hearts, prayers go out to the people of New York. And that city, I tell you what, I lived there a little while during the campaign, and the resilience and toughness of that. What's that?
How the accent go over?
Oh,
New York.
Yeah, they're not sure how to act when the Alabama kid shows up there. But I really felt that kind of resilience and toughness that New Yorkers have, and you could see it when a million of them took the streets at that Halloween parade that night to say, "You will never beat us. You will never beat us." It's got to be so just demoralizing for terrorists because they can't beat us. They can't win.
Without a doubt. Cliff Sims, special assistant to the president. Thanks a million for the time.
Great to be here.
Talk to you again. All right. We appreciate Cliff Sims and his time and great knowledge. And, Kerry, what I wanted to do was break down the tax plan, the tax code, and really get a little bit more in depth with him. This way I was able to open up the conversation with the president for other stuff. Make sense?
That makes sense, yeah. It was good stuff.
It's okay. Learn a little something
yeah,
there, right?
Absolutely.
Bottom of the hour, in about 13, 14 minutes, we'll talk to Energy Secretary Rick Perry. Controversy, as we talked about earlier, about some comments that he made about fossil fuels that have been taken out of context. We put it in context, and we correct the record when we come back. Actually, it'll be at the bottom. When we come back, some phone calls on a free speech Friday, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. You keep it right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Carrie, I tried to do this the other day when I was in Washington, D.C., and I broadcast the show live from our studio there. And Paulo said it just didn't work because I didn't have the button.
Oh. What were you trying to do?
I wonder if I can get a traveling button.
I don't know if they have one of those or not.
I don't think you could get a portable button like that.
If you can, then I want one in here, in this studio. Because I need a button.
Before
you get a traveling button, I need one in this studio.
I just checked the list, and it is a higher priority for me to have a traveling button than for you to have a stationary button.
Oh, okay.
Let's do some Trump tweets. Trump tweets.
Yeah,
I might actually said Washington, D.C. in the middle of that one.
I have no idea.
This is from yesterday, and it was 8:05 last night, actually. This is after he spoke with me, so he was feeling really good about his tax plan.
Mm-hmm.
Great tax cut rollout today. The lobbyists are storming Capitol Hill, but the Republicans will hold strong and do what is right for America. The president then tweeted at 8:39 p.m., Donna Brazile just stated the DNC rigged the system to illegally steal the primary from Bernie Sanders, bought and paid for by Crooked Hillary, or Crooked H. This is real collusion. And dishonesty, major violation of campaign finance laws and money laundering. Where is our Justice Department? All right. Then the president on a bit of a Twitter storm. The Tucker Carlson opening statement about our once cherished and great FBI was so sad to watch. James Comey's leadership was a disaster. Hashtag, what are you going to say hashtag here, Carrie?
Trump don't care.
Hashtag Trump don't care. Mm-hmm. Then he promoted his interview with Laura Ingraham, which actually was on television. It was actually was on TV.
Huh. No tweets about meeting the Joe Pags?
No, but that's okay. That's all right. Then he references the Twitter account being taken down, which is actually kind of interesting because that was the first question I asked him. It was about his Twitter account. My Twitter account was taken down for 11 minutes by a rogue employee. I guess the word must finally be getting out and having an impact. Okay, so he took it as a win, I guess. At 6:57 this morning, everybody's asking why the Justice Department and FBI isn't looking into all the dishonesty going on with Crooked Hillary and the Dems. Now Donna Beebook says she paid for and stole the Dem primary. What about the deleted emails, Uranium, Podesta, the server, plus? People are angry. At some point, the Justice Department and the FBI must do what is right and proper for the American public, or the American public deserves it. All right? That was a three-pronged tweet. That was a succession of three tweets in a row is what that was. Mm-hmm. The real story on collusion is in Donna B's new book. Crooked Hillary bought the DNC and then stole the Democratic primary from Crazy Bernie. That was at 7:48 this morning. Then the president tweeted at 7:55, Pocahontas just stated that the Democrats, led by the legendary Crooked Hillary, rigged the primaries. Let's go FBI and Justice Department. All right. ISIS just claimed the degenerate animal who killed and so badly wounded the wonderful people on the West Side was their soldier. Based on that, the military has hit ISIS much harder over the past 2 days. They will pay big price for every attack on us. Then the president tweeted at 10:28 this morning, Bernie Sanders supporters have every right to be apoplectic of the complete theft of the Dem primary by Crooked Hillary. He continued, I always felt I'd be running and winning against Bernie Sanders, not Crooked H. Without cheating, I was right. He continued, just took off for ceremony at Pearl Harbor. We'll then be heading to Japan, South Korea, China, Vietnam, and the Philippines. We'll never let you down. And the last Trump tweet for today, the rigged Dem party, one of the biggest political stories in years, got zero coverage from fake news network TV last night. Disgraceful. There you go. When we come back, we'll talk to Energy Secretary Rick Perry right here on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great radio stations everywhere. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show for a Friday, Free Speech Friday. Lots of people on the line. Lots of people want to be heard. I've got great interviews coming your way, and we'll have Rick Perry in a second. So Carrie, I don't know when's the last time that you flew?
Oh, probably 2 years ago.
I've experienced this the last three or four times that I've flown. Now, as the show gets bigger, more popular, and the fans treat us so well, I find myself flying more now, even though I don't love to fly. But I'll do it if I can go to the White House and interview the president, go to New York get a big interview there, or go to Florida and do whatever I have to do. You do it for, Carrie?
For the people.
The people. And that's something you don't really know. It's a concept that you don't live by, but I do. Because I care about the people. And I realize that.
I love the people. I love them. I do. They know.
You actually showed today that you must love them. You came in on a Friday, which is nuts for you. But you get in a plane and you go, and you think that everybody's going to be as courteous as you're going to be. And for some reason, the past two or three times that I've flown, there's one person on the plane that's convinced they're more important than the rest of us.
What did this guy do?
So we land in Dallas. We went from San Antonio to Dallas, Dallas to Washington on the flight there. And the flight back just came direct from Washington. Mm-hmm. And the plane lands, the bing happens. You hear a little tone
that
you can undo your seatbelt. And we do. And here's this one. Excuse me. Excuse me. And she's like tick-tacking through the people.
Excuse me.
So now Sam and I were pretty tight in our connecting flight. We had, I think, 45 minutes. And the Dallas airport's huge. We landed in A, and our next gate was D34. D34.
Of course.
So we knew that we were, so we were in trouble.
Yeah.
And this woman, so she's about to my row, and I'm like by the window, so I can't get out to put my big rear end in front of her. But I said, I guess you're the only person with a connecting flight. And the entire flight bursts into laughter because they know that she's just being an idiot.
Of course. Everybody wants to
so
get
she
off
gets
that
off
plane.
The plane. Obviously, she's very important. Her connecting flight is very important. She has to get make it happen. So Sam and I get off. And Sam's carrying all this photography equipment. I'm carrying all my laptop and my microphones. I've got all this, a mixing board to go into that I've got in front of me at the White House. I've got all this stuff that we're carrying to make sure that it goes off well. And we struggle. We get on the tram. We finally get to the plane. It's 15 minutes or something before it's going to take off. We get right into line. There are only a few people in line. And who the hell is right in front of us?
No, not that woman. No.
So she got off the plane 30 minutes before we did was the person in front of us in line. What? Come on, dude.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So word to that person and everybody else who thinks they're more important than anybody else. You're not. And stop it. If you're so important, get your ass in first class or get yourself a private jet or something. I won't begrudge you. You'll get off the plane as soon as you want. You have the ability to pay more money.
Mm-hmm.
But she's all the way, in the dead back of the plane thinking that she's got to get her ass off the plane before the rest of us.
Oh, that's too funny. And you end up on another
Come on, man. And it happens every single time.
Of
all
course.
Right. So I saw the former Governor Perry, who I actually forced you to meet, right? Because you didn't want to.
That's not true. I told you. I don't want to.
Pretty much how the story goes.
No, I don't want to intrude. So, but I did go.
So when I say, Carrie, why don't you meet the governor? You're like,
former governor. I did not do that. I'm
not going to remember a governor.
No, and I did not make that sound.
And I actually forced you to take a picture with him. So there is a great picture. And I don't know that I posted it yet. But when he sees me, he gives me this big, giant bear hug.
I saw it.
And it's the
it
coolest
is posted.
Thing.
Yeah.
Is it posted?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
how cool is that?
Man. Yeah.
I'm like, what is up, dude? Was that Ricky Rick? So,
he did not call him Ricky Rick.
But before we sit down, he said, yeah, I was just giving a speech over at this thing, and they took me out of context, or somebody yelling, fossil fuels kill people or something. And I said something that's been taken out of context. The media's lying. So I go ahead and reference that in this conversation.
Good.
Because I want to make sure that we at least set the record straight. What did you really say, and what did you really mean? So here's my interview with the current energy secretary, former governor of the great state of Texas, Rick Perry. It is an absolute pleasure to have the energy secretary of the United States of America, the former great, I mean, for me, just a great governor of the great state of Texas. It's Rick Perry. How are you, Rick?
Joe Pags.
Good to see you, boss.
It is awesome to be back with a good San Antonio person who I miss seeing. Actually, I catch up with you on the internet from time to time on Newsmax.
Yeah, but, I appreciate that.
Other than that, I miss seeing you.
It's been a long time since we've been face to face. We've now grown this little show from San Antonio to about 100 stations. We've got 13 in Texas, so a lot of people in Texas will be happy to hear this interview. Just really a pleasure to sit down with you. You've been working your face off every time I look online because I'm friends with your assistant. You guys are flying to Africa. You're flying to Europe. You're flying to Asia. Is that what this job entails?
American energy is in a revolution. Yeah. I mean, that's the real story out there. You know, 12 years ago, there was a guy going around giving a speech that we had reached peak oil. It was over with. We'd found it all. We'd developed it all. But George Mitchell, a great Texas A&M product who developed hydraulic fracturing, and some of our national labs at the Department of Energy worked on the directional drilling issue, and those together revolutionized energy in the world and America, and Texas in particular has been a great beneficiary. So geopolitics has been changed, Joe, over the last decade. I mean, think about how much the world has changed from the standpoint of who holds the cards, if you will.
Yeah.
From, you know, Saudi Arabia, the Middle East back a decade ago to today, you know, OPEC's out there. They're a player. They matter, but they're not driving the train. America is in the driver's seat, and using American energy for our best interest and our allies' best interest has literally changed the world.
It's Energy Secretary Rick Perry. You know, when you were offered the job, and we've already talked about this angle of it, you said, I mean, the president says come and do something, you come and do something. Did you feel it was in your wheelhouse? Did you feel that it was the right job?
Absolutely.
We were thinking defense for a while with you.
But the president had already made his mind up, and Mattis has been a fabulous Secretary of Defense and doing a wonderful job. And so the idea of Donald Trump's intuition is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, he sees over the horizon just like we saw him politically do with the American people, just like he's done, I think, with dealing with the media. He drives the message for his administration day in and day out. I think he also saw that you bring in a governor of Texas, a 14-year governor, to be the Secretary of Energy, to go share that story of American energy independence, making America energy dominant in the world. And he saw that. And, you know, he leaned across the table when we had the interview and he said, look, Perry, he said, here's what I want you to do. Okay. I want you to go do for American energy what you did for Texas.
Well, if you do that, and you are doing that, we're going to all be really good. It's Rick Perry, Energy Secretary, former Texas governor. So you do a lot of traveling. You were in Africa not long ago. You're back today, and you're talking about, you're talking in front of a bunch of people about energy, about the future of energy, and I guess a few idiots got in and started chanting about fossil fuels killing people.
Yeah.
And you responded. The way that, and I just want people who are listening and watching to understand.
Yeah, let me give you the background.
Well, you're a guy, though, just so that they understand. You've never held back with me. We've argued. We've laughed. I mean, you're a guy who's going to tell you what's really going on.
Yeah.
And you've been taken out of context in your answer. So they're yelling fossil fuels kill, and you decided to engage them. What did you say?
And I just said, let me address this issue where the person in the audience said that fossil fuels kill people.
Yeah.
I'm just back from Africa, and 70% of the people in Africa don't have electricity.
It's hard to imagine.
I grew up in a house that had just gotten electricity by Rural Electric.
Right.
I grew up in a house that didn't have running water until, you know, I was 4, 5, 6 years old, somewhere in that time range. So this is real to me. When I listen to people share the stories in Africa about villages that don't have water, don't have electricity today, and one of those ministers of energy, she said, let me tell you what a difference electricity will make. Not only will women not have to be going into to a town to get food because they don't have a refrigerator, but they'll be able to have a single light bulb. And no longer will they have to be sitting by a fire and smelling those fumes and affecting their bodies in a very negative way to be able to read.
Yeah.
But the light of that single light bulb can stop the sexual assaults that are going on in those dark communities in Africa.
And you got that from the people of Africa. They told you that.
And that's what, and I shared that story. And
what can be negative about that, about stopping, by giving people light that gives them more safety?
Here's why the president's right to really push back on the media from time to time and talk about fake news is that those that would rather score cheap political points and try to say, oh, Perry said, you know, fossil fuels is going to stop sexual assault. Well, that's taking it completely out of context. When we have the opportunity to use America's energy, geopolitical energy, and the fact is, most likely,
fossil fuels are going to drive the bulk of that electricity growth in Africa. It's not going to be wind and solar by the majority, which right. we support. You remember while I was the governor of Texas,
absolutely.
We developed more wind energy than any other state in the nation.
Yes,
matter
sir.
Of fact, more wind than but five countries developed in Texas during that period of time. So I'm a supporter of all of these, but fossil fuels, coal and fuel oil and crude is going to drive the industries and drive the ability to have power in a country like Africa. And
right.
we need to be selling it to them and bringing
the
technology to them so that their air can be cleaner.
What drives me nuts about something like that is anybody who's listening and watching knows damn well that you're going to feel a little safer if there's light than if there's dark. And we're talking about safety and security of families in Africa that nobody here can really even relate to. You've been there. You've seen it. So I just wanted to make sure that we cleared the air on that, because I thought that thing was dumb when I saw that hit the wall.
And isn't that America's role? Isn't that America's role?
It is.
To be out there showing the rest of the world that not only American technology, America energy can make their lives better. That's how you make friends in the world.
It seems to be common sense. All right, it's Secretary Rick Perry. I want to talk very quickly about the tax code, about the tax change. Here's the thing. When you were the governor of Texas, and many around the country might not know this, Jerry Brown knows it because you stole them all from him, you would go to these other states and get their businesses to come to Texas where the tax situation made more sense. It was much more healthy for a business that wanted to grow and hire and so on. Finally, Governor, after all these years, Washington's listening to what you did in Texas. So in your unique position now, do you see your industry friends saying this is a great thing, this tax plan?
Yes. And Donald Trump understands this intuitively. He understands there's two things that really drive job growth.
Yeah.
That's having letting people keep more of what they work for. That means cutting taxes and regulatory reform, which he's been on the leading edge of, as he said in a number of interviews, and he's absolutely correct. Nobody's driven down more regulations than the Trump administration in this short nine-month period of time here. So the president understands this, and implementing that, we know for a fact, in the 12th largest economy in the world, you drive down the tax burden. You send the message that you get to keep more of what you invest, then the mentality changes.
Yep.
And just like people move from California and some other states to come to Texas enjoying the tax climate and the regulatory climate, same thing can happen in America. Cutting that tax rate on offshore money will bring back literally trillions of dollars that can then be invested in this country. The president understands that. This tax cut that the president is talking about, this reforming of the tax system the president is talking about, can have the most dynamic economic impact on America, maybe in the history of the union.
It's Energy Secretary Rick Perry, former governor of the great state of Texas. We got to stop being strangers. Let's do this more often.
Let's do it. I keep up with you.
I appreciate that you watched the show. You actually gave me topics. Thank you so much. We'll
You're
talk
welcome.
To you soon.
God bless you, brother.
All right.
So long.
We appreciate the former governor of the great state of Texas stopping by, the energy secretary of the great United States of America. Yeah, you know, Carrie, the one thing that I never, ever want to just sit idly by and let happen, and I don't care if it's on the left or the right, if you're going to quote somebody, be honest. If you're going to talk about what they said, be honest. Or else you are nothing more than fake news. And not only did they chant fossil fuels kill, and then he responded the way he just told us he responded, they then took him out of context and were demanding his resignation.
Yeah, and like you said, the stories that I read this morning was exactly that. And now that you had him explain it, it all makes perfect sense.
Well, and the thing is, and it's unfair to you because you're a great journalist, you're a great news anchor, but you're going to go with what... with what the wires are saying he said. You're
there. I know. They were.
Right.
Crazy.
So I'm glad we got to clear that up. Hopefully that does clear it up for a lot of people. I'm going to post that interview, the video of which you'll see online as well at joepags.com. Click on Facebook or Twitter. We're back after this in the Joe Pags Show.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
All right, great to have you along for the ride. It's the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com, along with Kerry Luckett. Kerry, you know, I sometimes will run an interview twice if it's a big enough interview and an important enough interview. You think I should consider that with the President of the United States?
I think you should at least consider it, yes.
Okay, we'll consider running that again next hour. We've got other interviews that I could get to as well. I'm just going to gauge it because a lot of people are on the phone lines, and we haven't gotten to them because it's a Free Speech Friday. They're probably going, what the hell?
I thought it was a Free Speech Friday. Want to talk.
So let's grab a phone call. I know. So let's grab a phone call or two before the end of the hour. And let me say hi to Joy, who's in Arkansas. Joy, what's going on?
Well, I'm sorry I didn't get in earlier when you were talking about Bergdorf, but I just wanted to say that it really irks me that I am truly sad his fellow soldiers were hurt in the searching for him, but no one has mentioned those probably thousands that were killed by the terrorists that Obama released in exchange for him.
Yeah. And that's really what happened. What we did was we negotiated with kidnappers, if they really were kidnappers, to get a guy back who left on his own accord and led to the deaths and injuries of many American soldiers. The whole thing is sick because now he walks free like you and me.
Yeah, and those terrorists are doing who knows how much damage.
Well, hopefully we're going to track him down and kill him, but you're right. I can't argue with you. You're 100% right on that. Let me go back to it. Let's see if Brian is still there in Washington. Brian, what's going on? Hi. Brian was on hold for an hour and 33 minutes. See, Kerry, now I feel bad.
Oh, man. Well, you should. An hour and 33 minutes.
Yeah, some of those talk show hosts, they just leave them on hold for 8 hours, though. I don't care.
I know.
See, Pags care. See, I feel bad, but I'm going to move on. Okay. Let me say hi to Monica in Washington. Hi, Monica. What's going on?
Yes, thank you for hearing me. I am
one
of 64,000 widows, military widows, that something that Congress decided affects us all. They are literally stealing from us. When a veteran dies of service connection, it's service-connected wounds or disease, the VA gives the widow something that's called DIC or
Hey, Monica, I want to stop you, and here's the reason why. I want you to hold. Can you hold on for me?
I can.
Yeah, I've got another hour coming, and we're almost out of time for this hour, so I don't want to lose myself in the details of this story. I don't want to rush you off the phone, and people who are listening can, I'm sure, you know, follow us over to the next hour, and we'll get to your point. Something called the widow's tax, something I hadn't heard of before, so we'll find out from Monica what it is, and then we'll talk about what she does about it. We're talking Bergdahl. We're talking about anything that's on your mind. We're talking about my interviews with Energy Secretary Rick Perry, with my interview with President Trump. You will hear again next hour. My interview with Cliff Sims. There's a lot going on. Tax reform, the president's trip to Asia. There's a ton happening. And Kerry is working today. Woo! So you got it all going on. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Got to go on TV. We'll see you Monday. We're back on radio after this.
Joe Pags.
Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, you're darn right. Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. It's the Joe Pags Show. Coming to your way on a Friday. A Free Speech Friday. Oh, that's a feeling all right Thursday. There you go. I didn't get to play the Feeling All Right song yesterday, Kerry, so I think my brain was like,
there.
What about that song?
No, it is Friday.
A little confused?
A lot.
I'm going on fumes.
I know.
When I get off the air, I have to decide if I'm going to drink 4 gallons of Diet Dr. Pepper and a pound of pasta or just go to bed.
Going to bed, yeah.
So, but I always hate that I'm going to miss out on something. I have to watch my Spurs. Got some other DVR crap that I didn't get to watch
until
I was away.
3 o'clock in the morning with a gallon of Diet Dr. Pepper.
There is preparing to do until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Unlike you, I don't just rip and read. I prepare the show.
Hey, I do a lot of preparing. What is that? And not rip and read.
It's a, I don't know. Free Speech Friday. Anything on your mind, fair game. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Whatever you want to talk about. We're going to get back to the young lady that's on the line. Wanted to talk about how widows, I guess, of veterans from the VA, through the VA somehow, are losing some benefits. It's Monica. She's going to tell us in a minute what that's all about. But again, it was like a special surprise today that a certain somebody worked. So I'm like, whatever.
Isn't a surprise. Hey, here we go. Stop with the taco.
What?
No.
He don't let us say much. He's nuts.
Really? You're ruining the song.
Vagina. You were right.
I can't hear the song.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Say what? She my Friday girl. Huh? She makes it party time.
Carry Lucky Friday. It makes me feel alright. You were right. Be my Friday girl. Now bring it to me, girl. Carry Lucky. He's nuts.
Really? Be my Friday girl.
Friday. Oh, now bring it to us, girl. It's so stupid.
It is
that,
not.
You should make that your ringtone. Carrie. That thing should be your ringtone at the end.
It should.
1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Yes, indeed, I will bring you my interview from the White House. We did it yesterday with President Donald Trump at the bottom of the hour. Make sure you stick around for that. But as I asked her to do, Monica has stayed on the line from Washington. And why don't you talk about something called the widow's tax. Monica, I appreciate you holding on. And if you can, start from the beginning. So you're saying that something happened in Congress that many of us don't even know about. Fill us in.
Right. My husband, I am one of 64,000 military widows this law affects that Congress has passed. And my husband was a Vietnam veteran. And he died of service-connected conditions. Now, when he was still alive, they had a program that's called SBP, or Service Survivor Benefit Plan. This is like an annuity, something that you buy, and it was supposed to provide you with 55% of the his retirement in case something happened to him. And we had to pay for that every month. And I remember arguing with him. I said, we can't afford it. And he said, we can't afford not to take it because you have to have something to live on if something happens to me. And so we purchased this survivor benefit plan. And now in 2012, he passed away again from service-connected conditions.
And, sorry to hear about that.
Thank you. And the VA said, "Oh, you are eligible for DIC or dependent indemnity compensation. This is a different program. It provides for the survivor if the death is caused by military service."
Right.
So I'm thinking, okay, it's about $1,200 a month, and so I'm trying to see if I can the survivor benefit plan, which is like a savings account, and they said no, you can't. Department of Defense says no, you cannot draw both because it's offset. You can only have one. And so I do not understand. One of them is something that you paid for, and the other one is something because the it was military connected. No.
Well, I'm looking at it right now, and I'm not an expert on this by any means. And Monica, I'm going to promise you something. I'll get somebody on next week that can explain this better than I can. But I'm looking at it right now, and there are two different things that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You've got the Defense Department Survivor Benefit Plan payouts, known as the widow's tax. Then you've got something else that's called the SBP, which allows you to receive up to 55% of your loved one's retirement pay after the veteran dies. I'm not anywhere near where I need to be to talk about this intelligently, but I'm glad that you brought it to my attention, because guess what? I have it now. And what I'll do is I'll get a senator on, I'll get a member of Congress on, I'll talk to a lawyer, we'll get somebody from the military on, and we'll figure it out, and we'll get some answers, because it looks like it affects a lot of people. Like 63,000 families are affected by this, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, over 60,000.
Yeah. So,
and now, do you want to know the kicker? What Congress has also said, now this is the icing on the cake. If you are past 57 years old and you remarry, you must remarry in order to receive both.
You can only receive both if you do remarry?
Yes.
Why? What does your marrying have to do with it?
That is the ultimate insult.
Well, it just sounds like the people who put this together either weren't thinking or they're just really stupid.
Exactly.
So, that's dumb. You have to get remarried to get the benefit. That doesn't make any sense at all. But Monica, I appreciate you showing me the light on this, and I will come back. I'll absolutely come back to you next week at some point. We'll make sure that we announce and we promote it very well. And I'll get somebody on to talk about this. I really don't know much about it, and to try to opine when I don't know much is not a smart thing to do. Carrie, who will do that,
Have
you ever even heard of this thing that she brought up?
I had not, no.
Yeah.
It affected so many families.
Yeah. 63,000 families, and you've got two different deals. One where you pay into it and you get the benefit. The other one where you don't pay into it, you still get the benefit. So we'll figure out exactly the nuts and bolts of that. And the headline that I'm seeing in the Military Times on this story is defense lawmakers take aim at fixing the widow's tax. And I guess it's Republicans that are fighting to keep it in place. They say that widows are being shortchanged. So we'll figure it out. And again, we'll circle back to it. So let's talk about Donna Brazile for a second. Donna Brazile, I don't know Donna Brazile, but she suggested, I think, to Wolf Blitzer that he have me come on that show and debate her. I think that she liked me on Twitter or something. Well, she now blocks me on Twitter because I called her out when she did this whole Roland Martin thing. Donna Brazile was the interim chairman, I guess they say chairwoman in the DNC, of the Democratic National Committee. And it was leaked through WikiLeaks, through some emails that she got, because she was working for CNN at the time. She got a question from Roland Martin that he was going to ask at a town hall meeting of Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders before the town hall meeting, got that to the Clinton campaign, so she was ready for it. The question was about the death penalty. Roland Martin, I think, suggested that he didn't say it or something, but every email that's been released by WikiLeaks has been above reproach. Nobody's been able to refute any of it. And she was questioned about that constantly, and she pretended like she never did it, when, of course, it said that she did do it. And she was also one of the loudest voices out there to say that Hillary Clinton didn't get preferential treatment, wasn't calling the shots of the DNC, nothing like that at all was happening. Well, now she's written a book, and guess what she says in the book, Carrie?
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton was running the joint.
Yep.
Everything that they were doing, it was her decision. She did the hiring, did the firing, controlled all the money, and in return, or she got that ability, and because I guess Barack Obama and his campaign, like, completely bankrupted the DNC. So she said, we'll pay the debt, but I get control. And getting control means I win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. So she had every superdelegate. She had the control of the DNC, which is supposed to be an entity that pushes for that agenda, that way of life, that party, and whomever wins the primary wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out she was predisposed to win. She was going to win whether she won or not. And that was that. I will be the nominee. And she guaranteed it by running the joint, according to Donna Brazile, who just, nary a year ago said that it wasn't going on.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So either she's just now been hit with a bit of honesty, the honesty bug bit her, or she's trying to sell books, or both. So this story has not been covered anywhere near as much as it should be, just like the whole Uranium One thing isn't either. And these stories need to be out there. The DNC is not only corrupt, it's so corrupt that it's calling everybody else corrupt to try to get the smell and stench of corruptness or corruption off of itself. That's how, I mean, it's crazy. I've got a Politico story. Carrie will have this for you when we come back. We'll outline that for you. I want to know what you think about the fact that you're not hearing much about these stories from anybody other than, like, you know, me and Hannity does it and other stuff. And Sean's done it in depth. Is it time for the fake news media, the far left mainstream media, to go back to what its founding, what its roots were, which was really good reporting and journalism? You know how big a story this would have been in the 70s? In fact,
I'm sure
in the 70s, this took down a president, a story just like
this.
Well, Watergate.
I mean, what did I say? Whitewater?
Whitewater, you know.
I'm getting tired.
You came to work today. I'm not going to beat you up. Look,
wow.
I said Hillary Clinton. That made you think Whitewater. God bless you, Carrie.
Okay.
Listen, I just want you to have a good weekend. 1-800-383. Don't get used to this crap, by the
way.
1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. And yes, you will hear my interview with President Donald Trump again at the bottom of this hour. And if you're watching on Facebook, what the hell, Carrie? I'll let him see the video, too.
Hey, good. Looking forward to it.
All right. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
Bet you're glad to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more right there. Do me a favor, stop by the social. You know, today I think is probably even a better day than usual to stop by the social, because I posted on Instagram a bunch of pictures, and I actually did that yesterday while we were still in Washington, of our visit to the White House. Also posted on Facebook and Twitter, the link to the pictures and to the video of my interview with President Donald Trump. We're working on getting a link for the video for the interview with Energy Secretary Rick Perry, which I think will be cool for you to go and check out as well. So do me a favor, go to Facebook and put in Joe Talk Show. I don't know if Facebook, even though I've got 360-some-odd thousand people, I don't know if you just search Joe Pags, if it comes up. I think so. Maybe.
I think it does, too. Yeah, it does.
Does it?
Yeah.
All right, so go and check that. You can either put Joe Pags, P-A-G-S, or Joe Talk Show. Go to Twitter and put in at Joe Talk Show, one word, J-O-E-T-A-L-K-S-H-O-W, or on Instagram, Joe Talk Show. Now, Instagram, generally speaking, I don't do a lot of politics. I post more personal stuff, working out at the gym, my dog picture, maybe some family stuff, a skyline or something, or a sunset. But I did post a bunch of pictures on Instagram yesterday as well. But again, you couldn't have seen the video on television. We do have access to putting it up on the web, so go and check it out on Facebook and on Twitter. And do me a favor, share it, retweet it, spread it around, tell the people, make it happen. All right. Carrie, do we have time to do this story from Politico?
Why don't we do this? Okay.
Well, I know, and I don't want you to read the whole thing. Just sort of give me the first few paragraphs.
Okay.
Let's let people know what's churning out there and what the media is hoping people will ignore. Go ahead.
This is from the Politico magazine by Donna Brazil. Before I called Bernie Sanders, I lit a candle in my living room and put on some gospel music. I wanted to center myself for what I knew would be an emotional phone call.
I want to stop you if you don't mind, because just follow what's happening here.
Yeah.
Politico is, I want to see if this is from last year or from now, because this has got to be that they've allowed her to write an article about her book. Is that what Politico did?
That's what I'm thinking, unless it's excerpts from the book or she wrote this article.
Yeah, it's interesting, because if you look at it, this is them actually letting Donna Brazile. You know what? I don't want you to do it then, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Let's not do it, because I don't want you to, I don't want you to read in her, you know, her words and her voice or whatever.
Okay.
That's not really a news story. This is going to be a big promo for her book. Long story short, Donna Brazile either got hit with the honesty bug and felt horrible in her conscience about the lies that she was telling as interim DNC chair, or she wants to make some money on the book. Maybe it's a little bit of both. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like she's disingenuous still. She was then. I mean, but you would have to admit, Carrie, I would guess, even in a very journalistic look, she either was lying then or she's lying now. You really can't, because
exactly.
The story, two stories can't coexist.
Of course they can't. No. Now, which time was she lying? I don't know.
Right. And she wants us to believe that she's telling the truth now and then wrote a book about
it. Selling a book.
Now, here's the question. I mean, she has now, she better hope that she sells 18 billion books, because she's done. Mm-hmm. She's going to be on the outs with the Clintons. And as long as they're still around, they're still part of the machinery. She's going to be on the outs with Obama, because now we know that the Obama campaign, you know, depleted the DNC. Going to be out on the outs with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's an idiot. Going to be on the outs with the Democrat hierarchy, I would imagine.
Definitely.
That the guy now, what's the guy's name? Lopez now, the guy who's in charge? That guy is going to be, is going to hate her. I mean, everybody in the DNC. This shows a division in the DNC and real collusion between the DNC inner workings and the Clinton campaign to snuff out Bernie Sanders. And the whole party's imploding. I mean, next year is the midterm, and it's almost next year. You know what I mean? I mean, if I'm running the DNC, which I wouldn't be anywhere near, but if I'm running it, I don't want this to happen.
No.
As campaigns for next year's midterms are underway.
Exactly.
I mean, when I was in Washington, D.C., every other commercial was the Republican and the Democrat running for governor there in Virginia. Gillespie, and I forget the other guy's name. And they were like back to back to back to back. So this is happening right now. If you're a Republican candidate, don't you just have to say, just don't be a Democrat. You know what I'm saying? If you're a Republican candidate, you kind of get off easy, don't you? Wow. Look at how bad the Democrat Party is. Look how screwed up it is. Look how stupid it is. Look at how they hate each other. They're at each other's throats. And they're colluding and lying and cheating in their own town hall meetings against their own party. Why would you ever want that party to run anything? They can't run. The DNC was broke. Donna Brazile was running the DNC, and now she's telling all the secrets. Why would any voter ever say, well, you know, they can't run their own party. They can't run their own committee or convention. Yeah, they could probably run the state. Yeah, I think they could probably run the state. I wouldn't want them to run. What's the old saying? I don't want them to run for dog catcher.
Oh, yeah. Heard that many times.
Do you really elect dog catchers?
I don't think you do.
Wouldn't that be nuts if there really were like an elected position dog catcher?
Not that I know of. You know, you're really, you know, small town, but not around here.
So I'm just saying. So this is a complete implosion of the Democrat Party. And it's not going to get any better anytime soon. You got a radical idiot that loves the F word who's running the joint now. Is his name Lopez? I think it is.
I'll double check.
Is it Perez? Maybe it's Tom Perez. Is that his name? See, Carrie, you should know these things. You're the news anchor.
I know,
so
but
you came to work today.
Looking,
I think it's Perez. I think it's Perez.
It is Perez.
In San Antonio,
we would say
Perez.
Tom Perez.
All right. So when we come back, my interview with Donald Trump, the president of the United States. Stay here. Hey, great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more right there on a Free Speech Friday. Whatever's on your mind, make sure you give a call or just drop a note over on Twitter or on the Facebook page. If you get political on Instagram, I'll probably just ignore you because I don't really do Instagram for political. I do that for pictures. But make sure that you stop by all the social media. It's Joe Talk Show is how you find me on all three of them. All right, had a chance to talk with President Donald Trump yesterday. I was invited to the White House. It was great, and just really, really enjoyed the fact that we had access to so many people who are top officials, including the President of the United States, all in one place, and it was an extreme honor to be invited there. We'll have the interview in a second. I don't leave Steve hanging, though, in Kansas City. Steve, what's on your mind? Hi.
Hey, how's it going, Joe?
Living the dream, my friend. What's up?
Yeah, I hear you. Me too. No, I'm just... calling in about the comment you made earlier. You asked a question about how people thought about the mainstream media and how they were reacting to all this news and why you and Sean are the only ones covering it. I just think it's I'm appalled by the whole thing. I'm amazed that this is my country. I can't believe it. It's not the place I grew up in, that's for sure.
Well, it's not journalism anyway. I mean, we used to really rely on these people to tell us what was really going on. Now they're just telling us what they want us to know and ignoring the stuff that we should know.
Well, yeah, they used to be one of us. Now they're one of them. They're the enemy.
I couldn't agree more. They are the elites in Washington, in New York, in L.A., in San Francisco, in Chicago, and they have a vision for what the country should look like. So to achieve that vision, they've got to tell Steve in Kansas City what they want him to know. All right, brother, I appreciate you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Now my interview with President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Mr. President, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's
thank
an
you,
absolute
Jim.
Honor. I've been in this business a long time. This is the biggest interview I've gotten, and I thank you so much for making it you.
Well, you're good friends with Eric, my boy, yeah. And Don also, yeah. and I really appreciate it.
The first question I've got to ask is the question my listeners all want to know. Do you really do all those tweets?
I do most of them. The good ones I do.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's interesting. I call it social media. I don't even call it tweet too much, but it's a great form of communication. The press is so dishonest and so fake, and it's the only way I really can get the communication out there. Local is great. You're great. I mean, I have so many wonderful people, but if you look at CNN, which is absolutely fake, if you look at, I mean, they make up stories. If you look at ABC and CBS and NBC is terrible. You know, with all the money I made NBC with The Apprentice, they are absolutely terrible. Yeah. And so it's a great form of communicating. I get the word out. If they do a false story, I can at least write about it. And people can see the other side.
As you know, my mother's from Jamaica, Queens. So
good,
are you.
Good.
You're
That's
a fighter.
True.
She's a fighter. I'm a fighter.
Right.
Is that really what it's about? When you give it back, when somebody hits you, when you hit back, is that really what it's about? I'm not going to let you get the better of me and lie about me?
Well, a little bit. It's also this. When I won, I really thought that one of the good things that would come out of it would be the media would be fair.
Right.
And it turned out that they got worse. They're actually worse. And so it's just one of those things, Joe. But look, as far as I'm concerned, there's tremendous people in your industry, including you.
Yeah, thanks.
But there are a lot of really, I find the smaller markets and the mid-markets, I get really properly treated.
Right.
But from the networks and CNN, and I find Fox is very, very fair.
Yeah.
They're very professional and they're very fair. But I don't find that with the other networks.
We're always going to be fair. We're up to just about 100 stations now, 15 of which are in Michigan.
Right.
At last we spoke, you were flying back and forth to Michigan constantly
right.
because it was close.
Right.
You pulled Michigan off, first guy since Reagan. You right. almost got Minnesota. Reagan right. couldn't even get Minnesota.
I was so
Those
close.
Those people are all listening right now.
And, I love
and they
Minnesota.
Wonder, in the year that you've been in, nine, 10 months you've been in, how much do you keep middle America that really won this for you in mind when
totally.
Things like the tax cuts happen?
Yeah, totally. That's what we're doing right now with the tax cuts. And when you mentioned Minnesota, you're right. It was so close.
So close.
And they have been treated horribly with immigration. Somalia and all of the things that have happened in Minnesota. The people of Minnesota can't even believe it's happening to them. And they have been treated terribly. And I almost won Minnesota, and I'll win it the next time.
Yeah.
Michigan has been fantastic. You know, we have plants
opening. That was a
opening.
Surprise. So was Wisconsin.
Well,
but
not so
to
much to us. We went there. I went there the last night, and I got there at 1 in the morning, and we had 32,000 people. And
amazing?
I looked at my people, and I said to Ronna, you know Ronna McDaniel, who is fantastic, now the head of the RNC.
Right.
I said, so why are we going to lose Michigan with all these people? And Hillary was there just a little bit before us
right.
in a much better time because I was there literally. I started speaking at about 1 o'clock in the morning, which is now election day.
Right.
And she was there. She had a very, very small crowd. So I said, why are we going to lose Michigan? Now, since this happened, you know, we're expanding plants in Michigan.
Yeah.
Car companies are moving back into Michigan and Ohio and other places. You look at what's going on in Minnesota, it's so sad. And I think we're going to win it the next time. I think we're going to do even better in Michigan. But we have a lot of industry coming back into our country.
Is it because of the tax of the corporate rate from 35 down to 20? Will that immediately, in your opinion, make these companies close up shop there and bring them right back to Detroit?
Well,
bring
it's
right
one
back
of
to
the
parts
things.
Of Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Yeah, you probably saw. I had a news conference today. One of the Fortune 100 companies, think of that, one of the biggest companies,
right.
Fortune 100 in the world, as you know, is coming, Broadcom, is coming back into the United States. They're going to locate in the United States. That's right. A big announcement, psychologically especially, but that's a big announcement. So we have a Fortune 100 company coming back into the United States, which is very exciting. But we have a lot of plants going up now. We have automobile plants. We have companies moving back in. And the tax cuts, which are the biggest in the history of our country, will have a huge impact on that, too, and a huge impact on employment, jobs, and wages.
Those on the left, and even some of the right, who are from California, from New York, the higher tax states, will say, yeah, but this is double taxing our people. I mean, my response is, not important, we'll get yours, but my response is, don't tax them so much to begin with. Is that sort of what the hit back has to be when they say that you're doubling taxes on people with big mortgages?
Yeah, but what I'm really doing is cutting taxes for the middle class. We're cutting them way down, Joe, in the middle class, and we're also cutting them for business. Business is 35 down to 20. And the problem was businesses were leaving our country. When you look at all the business, look at all the car companies that left and they went to Mexico.
Right. Yeah.
Businesses were leaving our country. Now they're staying, and now they're actually starting to come back. So this tax cut, which has become very popular, and it's going to be very hard to fight. You know, one of my least favorite newspapers today came out with Pinocchio's on Schumer, because Schumer said, oh, it's for the rich, which is a standard chant.
I know which paper it is. I won't give him any credit either.
But they gave him four Pinocchios because he said it's for the rich, and they said it's really not. It's for jobs, and it's for the middle class, and it's really doing well.
All right. I've got to talk a little bit about terrorism. You were way ahead of this diversity visa lottery.
It's true.
I guess we didn't have enough people, Mr. President, from Uzbekistan in the country. Boy. Who comes up with a plan like that? Why is it in place? And I know that you wanted it gone before this attack happened, a couple of blocks away from the ground zero. Can you get rid of it through executive order? Does it have to be through the Senate, through the House? Does it have to be a legislative move? What has to happen?
We're going to get rid of it very quickly. It's going to go through, has to go through Congress. I must tell you, this was a Schumer concept and idea. He was in when he was a congressman, and Chuck Schumer was promoting it. And it was no good then. Common sense.
Right.
Number one, they probably don't even do a lottery. They probably just give you their worst.
Right.
Okay. They probably do it. You know, who says it's a lottery? Who's out there checking to see it's a lottery? So they probably take their worst and they give you their worst.
Yeah.
Because that's the way, unfortunately, a lot of the system works. But who would think that that was good to start off with? Anyway, the animal that did the recent West Side killings, eight people, and people don't even say, but the people that were so badly hurt. I mean, these people were horribly injured and hurt. But all of these people, they suffered because of this animal that we allowed to come in on a draw based on a lottery.
Like you go buy a lottery ticket. It doesn't make sense to anybody.
It's horrible. And we're going to be ending it very quickly.
Can you make it go away through executive action?
Well, we're looking at that. Actually, we looked at it today. I'm having an answer tomorrow. If I can sign it away and then still go through Congress because we want to make it permanent, we will be doing that, Joe.
Quickly on Obamacare. You took executive action. I interviewed Rand Paul. He I know was conferring with you about this.
That's true.
Really great move to make that cross-state bargaining. Plus, there are other things that can be done, too. Are you still looking at what power you have in the executive, or do you still have to go through the legislative? Because now that we passed September 30th, as you know, it's got to be a brand new bill with 60 votes.
Well, we're focused absolutely on tax cuts, and as soon as the tax cuts, we will get the health care done, and we'll get it done properly. Well, we want to get rid of the individual mandate, which is a disaster in Obama. These are people that have to pay not to take this horrible insurance. I mean, these are people that are paying money to do something they don't want to do. It's probably unheard of. I assume it's been tested legally, but it's unheard of. So we're going to be getting rid of the individual mandate, but we're going to be repealing Obamacare. We will be replacing Obama. You know, we had the votes until we were surprised late in the morning. We were very sadly surprised by one person, and that's okay, because we're going to have a very, very good health care situation. We will be repealing and replacing. I think, you know, there's a lot of people that want to put the individual mandate repeal. They want to do that, and they want to put it right into the tax package, and that could happen, and it probably will happen.
When I got here yesterday, Senator Ted Cruz said, "Welcome to the swamp." When you were running for president, that drain the swamp came up. You didn't even love the phrase, really, but now that you've been here a year, is it a swamp? And were you surprised to find that a lot of the swamp monsters were on the right?
Yeah, it's a swamp.
In your own party.
You got a lot of people. It's a tricky place.
Yeah.
It's a tricky place. You know that from doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
But we're getting it through. We've had tremendous success in 10 months, what we've done with cutting regulations, with getting legislation passed. I'm talking about approved by the Senate and the House. A lot of people don't know. We're up to 70 bills. That's a lot.
It's rarely reported, by the way.
It's never reported.
Yeah.
If I watch these dishonest people on CNN and these others, and they talk about, like, we haven't passed anything. And we've passed, I think it's a record number or close to a record for the amount of time I've been in. And Harry Truman maybe had it, but I hear we overtook him. I mean, think of that. And yet they report like we haven't done anything, and it's really disgraceful. It really is very sad. But I will say this, whether it's that or all of the executive orders to get rid of all of this regulation, and that's what's having a big impact on the market. So the market's been up. I think we've hit about 60 times now where we've created records in the history of the stock. This is in the history of the stock market. Approved the pipelines, you know, the Keystone Pipeline, Dakota Amazing, Access Pipeline. That was 42,000 jobs. I mean, we've done a lot. And, of course, we've gotten a great Supreme Court judge, not just nominated, but in.
I'm so proud of the guy that I wanted one last thing. Houston Astros won last night.
Congratulations.
For that city that got demolished by Harvey.
Great
what
city.
What message do you have for them?
Well, they're great people. I got to know them very well during the hurricane horror show that we went through. It just kept going out into the Gulf, reloading and coming back three times. These are great people, tremendous stamina, tremendous will. And they probably deserved it just about more than anybody.
It almost felt like fate, didn't it?
It was beautiful. Yeah. It was a beautiful thing to see.
Mr. President, I can't thank you enough for your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
All right.
I appreciate your support. You have been fantastic. Thank you, Joe.
President of the United States on your boy Joe Pag's show, and we appreciate him taking the time. Hopefully we'll be invited back to the White House. Carrie, I don't think I did anything wrong. I didn't go to the bathroom there, which that could have been an issue.
Yeah, good.
As we all know. I didn't do that. I didn't have any of the White House cookies, although Sam had a few. I drank a couple of bottles of water in my 7 hours, 8 hours there.
White House
and
water.
And not much else. And it was funny because the people who work at the White House would come up to me, like the people who work close to the president, they'd say, is everything okay? So, yeah, I'm fine. I was just sitting there waiting. Because you're very stoic. Everybody else is like really loud and boisterous. I said, when I'm doing the interviews, I'll be loud and boisterous, but I want to be ready when these people guys. And I took the show off today to make sure that I got everything in line.
Nice.
By the way, if you didn't hear me toss to the interview the first time we ran it in the first hour, I'm well aware that George Herbert Walker Bush won the Republican, George W. Bush or George Herbert Walker Bush won Minnesota in 1988. I said Reagan with the president. And after I did the interview, I thought to myself, well, wait a second, I know better than that. But it was 1988 that it happened, and I misspoke, certainly. I don't want anybody to watch that interview and say, he's so stupid, doesn't even know who won Minnesota or Michigan in 1988. Again, Michigan, 1988, went to George Herbert Walker Bush. Minnesota wasn't even won by Reagan. Did you know that Mondale won Minnesota?
I did not know that. Interesting.
You know why?
Why?
He's from Minnesota. It was a landslide other than that. And I got to tell you, that's probably what the impetus to my, what the hell's the matter with you, Minnesota?
Because that's where it all began.
Who's voted for Mondale? What's the matter with you? So again, Michigan did go to George Herbert Walker Bush in 1988. It wasn't Reagan who was the last one to win, but you're still looking at almost 30 years. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Coming right back.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. The Joe Pags Show. Great radio stations all over. My pleasure to have the President of the United States on the program today. Also, Rick Perry. Also, Cliff Sims. I've got other interviews with Kellyanne Conway and the Labor Secretary, Alex Acosta. We'll get to those possibly Monday. I mean, Carrie, we went there. We did some work.
I know you did. Sounds good. Can't wait for Monday to hear those.
So we got her done. Sean is on the line in North Carolina, wants to talk about global warming and the environment on this Free Speech Friday. Sean, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. How you doing, man?
Living the dream, my friend. What's going on?
All right. I just wanted to let you know, man, that I had never even heard of you until about 2 months ago. And most of my talk radio comes from iHeartRadio because I'm out here in the country. And they suggested to me to listen to you. And I started to about 2 months ago at 6 o'clock Eastern. And since then, man, it has been you 100%. And I just got to say, I love your show. You're awesome.
Thank you.
I really love what you're doing, man. And I am 100% a fan.
Thank you. What do you think about Carrie? Carrie's kind of a pain, right?
We don't have to talk about Carrie, man. We're just going to talk about
Joe.
Joe is amazing. And
all right. So you set me up for the big fall now. What's on your mind?
Well, the thing is, I don't want to. I mean, Carrie's great, but the thing is there's other talk shows actually on the radio here that you're not on, unfortunately, at 6 p.m. And we won't get into who he is. I listen to him actually on his the podcast and stuff like that, because he's still cool.
I don't know. Yeah.
You know.
Thank you. So, I appreciate that. All right. Now we're almost out of time. What's on your mind?
All right. So I'm one of those guys that are on the internet. You know, we talk about this and that, and you know, I read something today about how supposedly the Trump administration the climate change is all about the population and everything like that. Supposedly 13 different entities within the government that upholds that and everything like that. And so, of course, the liberal trolls are trying to make it like Trump is all about climate change and whatnot. And I'm sitting here thinking, is that really true, or is that just something that's coming out of the government with even?
Well, Sean, I would give you an answer, but I honestly don't know what the question was. They're saying 13 agencies did what?
If you Google it, they're supposedly about.
Yeah,
Trump,
no, not going to Google it. Definitely not going to Google it. No.
Okay,
see,
well,
if you've been listening for a while, what you'll learn is when people say Google it, what do I say, Carrie?
Google your
ass. I say, yeah. Google your ass. So, yeah, you can't tell me Google it, Sean. You'll learn that as you listen more. Listen, I love that you like the show. I really do. But you kind of used up all your time, like 3 minutes worth of telling me how great I was. And look, I can't argue with you. I'm not gonna argue with the guy.
How much did you pay him before you took that call?
I didn't. I thought he was gonna hit me on global warming or climate change. I was willing to debate. Sean, call back when I have more time. I don't want to be mean to you because I'm glad that you listen. Call back when I have more time and we'll do something. All right. Let's do some pop culture. Hey. Polo's out, Karina. I don't have much time for you. What's on your mind?
Okay, so real quick, Jimmy Fallon canceled today's taping of the Tonight Show, and it looks like his mom is sick, but they haven't officially released anything. And also, the Houston Astros had their World Series celebration parade today, and I guess Justin Verlander, who is the Astros pitcher, is also getting married this weekend, so he missed the parade, and fans aren't happy.
What?
Yeah, fans aren't happy. Well, he's getting married in Italy to Kate Upton.
I don't care. You need to be there for that parade. We got to go for the entire crew. We'll see you later. Have a good weekend.
This is the Joe Pags Show.